All right, so for the entire show, Gina has bumped back with artists playing at Summerfest. I don't know who this is, nor do I know if they're playing at Summerfest tonight. That's
it's a
all
good song. It's a throwback.
Is it a throwback?
It's a throwback, okay. And that's why we're bringing in Scott McFarlane.
We bring in the big dogs when it comes time for classifications of 90s R&B music. Scott McFarlane of the Midas Touch joining us from the nation's capital. We're at Summerfest, Scott. We feel like this is a place you would really enjoy.
I would. I mean, trust me. I was trying to get out there, but I'm not the boss of the house, Greg. I'm not in charge of the scheduling in the McFarlane home. I hope the group SWV is playing at Summerfest, or else Gina's making a real dubious choice playing a song called Rain at an outdoor festival.
Exactly. And we had Rain to start off. So Garth Brooks, Scott, to kind of fill you in here, he had a two-day pre-party before Summerfest even started. And it rained those days. It was a little soggy in the grass seats. We said, you know, soggy bottoms people might have. But today, it is now day two of Summerfest. It is absolutely beautiful, Scott. The sun is shining. We are looking out at Lake Michigan. The seagulls are flying around. You've got sailboats going. People are strolling by in their tank tops and shorts. And we are just loving this. Maybe a possibility for some rain tonight, but you wouldn't know it if you didn't know the forecast.
What have you eaten so far? And be honest about it. Don't make stuff up.
Major Goolsby's, the major cheeseburger, and I'm stuffed.
We have like four minutes where we can actually eat something, and I knocked out a Cajun chicken sandwich. But they got everything here deep fried if you'd like it. I wonder this, Scott. When I sent you the link, because I know you're a music guy, do people in the nation's capital know Summerfest? Like, is this a known thing beyond Wisconsin? We like to think it is. We know what it's labeled, but we understand that word doesn't always travel.
Well, to be clear, your congressional delegation is very good at unsolicited feedback to me about what's happening back home. So, yes, me and their colleagues know all about this stuff. I think I was told Ed Sheeran is involved next week. I think
yes.
I was told that. And I think I was told that Post Malone's involved next week. So that word gets around.
And Ed Sheeran played here 11 years ago as well, and it was just him and a guitar, and he was fabulous. And it's interesting to see these artists come back to Milwaukee, a spot that they love, and just see how they have flourished throughout the years. I mean, Ed Sheeran, he's got lasting power.
And I appreciate they need the headliners, and these events live off the headliners. But I like to go deeper into the lineup, and I see some artists the week of the second, the week of the holiday. You got DJ Jazzy Jeff, Tag Team, and DJ Kool. You don't know how lucky you are to have DJ Jazzy Jeff and Tag Team and DJ Kool. And Greg, Tag Team is the one that did Woomp, There It Is. You'll hear the whole show.
That one I know. The last time I saw DJ Jazzy Jeff, Uncle Phil from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was tossing him out the front door of their Bel-Air mansion. Speaking of things happening.
You're so close. You're not quite there. That's the Fresh Prince. DJ Jazzy Jeff was his partner. DJ Jazzy Jeff no longer has Will Smith with him.
Well, that is true. I think they were both thrown out of the front door.
Isn't that like Tag Team back again?
Yes, yes. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. All right, Scott, we could talk music all day, no doubt about that. But there are things happening in the nation's capital, but nothing really happening in Switzerland like we thought could happen today. J.D. Vance is not overseas. The peace plan to end the war with Iran is on hold. Where did things break down here?
Well, they broke down, that's for sure. J.D. Vance was supposed to be in Geneva today, and they cite logistical issues with him not going over there. I don't know that I buy a White House having logistical problems. There's an issue with the deal. And I know there's an issue with the deal because I'm hearing that from many, many, many Republicans. You know, people on Trump's team say, this thing's no good. I had one Republican close to Trump say, this looks like appeasement for Iran. You had another saying Ronald Reagan is rolling over his grave looking at this peace deal. You had another say the president must be getting bad advice because this is a very, very bad deal. These are the Republicans. This is not the contrarian caucus. This is not Democrats. They're going to have to shake this thing up. It does not have support.
A total of 25 commercial ships crossed through the Strait of Hormuz on Thursday, just yesterday. That's the most since April. Is that viewed as a win of sorts?
Yeah, the White House is touting the movement of ships and the gas prices going down just below $4. I think that may be a myopic way of looking at it. I don't think America's going to measure this by whether gas is above or below $4. Not the entirety of this deal. And Iran knows what kind of leverage they have. They can impose their will on the Strait of Hormuz as soon as they get the cash that they think they're getting freed up from sanction relief. that's why there's so much concern among Republicans. They don't buy that this thing's going to work. And they also don't think the U.S. got enough concessions out of Iran in the first place. I wouldn't think that that gas price going down below $4 a gallon is going to be a sufficient amount to bring people around.
Hey, Scott, the thwarted plot to attack the Freedom 250 UFC fight on the South Lawn has raised some kind of back-and-forth discussion and even criticism with the Secret Service at odds with FBI Director Kash Patel over how the situation was handled. Why is that happening? Why is there some back-and-forth on how everything went down and how things were handled? Seems like it was thwarted anyway, that the plot was thwarted and people were on it from the FBI. Where's the Secret Service weighing in?
Yeah, the FBI director, Kash Patel, kind of broke with tradition, and he announced the case on his social media handle before it was unsealed in the courts. And that may seem like a procedural issue or an administrative issue, but it's quite different than that. If the case hasn't been unsealed in the court, there are people who are going to be arrested and charged who don't know they're going to be arrested and charged. So Kash Patel tweeting out the announcement may convince some people who are about to be arrested to leave home for a while. It's also a safety risk. If these people are plotting to attack America and you pop them off before they're in custody, Lord knows what they're going to do. Secret Service was not happy that the FBI put that announcement out there. And I think in a broader sense, I'm trying to be charitable here. In a broader sense, I think we don't need the FBI director looking for internet and Twitter engagement as a top priority. Perhaps, you know, you can let somebody else announce it in their Twitter feed.
Scott, we can't let you go without asking about the reflecting pool in D.C. Because at one point, it's turning colors. Then I just saw it was either last night or this morning on X, speaking of X. I saw there was part of it that was peeling up from the bottom. What is going on here? I mean, a lot of money was put into renovating this.
At least $14 million was spent on renovating this. And that may be an undercount because they've still been working on it since the last time they estimated the price. They put that swimming pool or U.S. flag blue paint and plastering on the bottom of the pool. It's peeled off and is now floating in the green swamp water of the reflecting pool. I'm not sure the pool guy really had it down how this was supposed to go. It's
how does
an embarrassment.
That happen?
It looks like crap. And I don't mean that to pile on. It looks awful. Thankfully, it doesn't smell bad. And the good news is it's actually drawing quite a crowd of, you know, rubberneckers who want to see this thing. And, hey, at least it gets them down to the Lincoln Memorial. That's a good place for them to be. They got to clean this up by July 4th. That's when Trump has his rally in support of America's 250th birthday. And this eyesore is just that. It is ugly on the eyes.
I don't know where you were in 2012, but the Obama administration put a boatload of money into trying to renovate this thing as well. I think it was $18 million as I was digging back. What could that $18 million not do that $14 million more is hoping to do?
In 2012, I was listening to DJ Jazzy Jeff, Greg. That's what I was doing. The Obama administration had an algae problem, too. The goal of the reflecting pool, guys, is to be achromatic, non-colored, so that it reflects best the Lincoln Memorial and Washington Monument. Trying to make it a color is already a fool's errand. And I think part of the issue here for the Trump administration is that they made a big deal out of this. They spiked the football on how great this was and how bad other people were for not doing the same. And that failure really looks bad in light of how big a deal they wanted to make this.
Scott McFarland joining us here from the nation's capital. Scott, what's your weekend entail? What do you got on the plans?
As I said at the top, I'm not in charge of the weekend schedule in the House. I think the to-do list is insane. I'll get after it, but I'll listen to Ed Sheeran on the streaming service instead of seeing him.
Oh, there you go. And also, you would like this one, a little R&B. Tyrese, little sweet lady, won't you be behind the T-Mobile stage at 10:15 tonight, Scott?
Nice.
Appreciate it, pal. We'll
check
it again.
Enjoy the heck out of it, and please eat more of it. Thank you all.
You know
we will.
That's Scott McFarland joining us from the nation's capital, from the Midas Touch. Does a great job joining us each and every week here on Wisconsin's Midday News.